A reading from Exodus. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of that community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father, we lift our eyes to your holy hill, our help, always and only, comes from you. Amen. Please be seated. A while back, my wife Janet and I found ourselves, due to a church split, without a church home. We found ourselves displaced. So we began visiting all different kinds of churches, and we were equal opportunity offenders. We visited the Baptists, and we visited the Methodists. We visited the Pentecostals, the Roman Catholics, the Antiochian Orthodox, the Independent Freestyles, PCA, PCUSA. 8 or 9 months we wandered in the wilderness looking for where we belonged. And it was a very educational time, and I won't bore you with or amuse you with all those details. But one of the things that we noticed along that journey is a certain awkwardness in many churches with the Lord's Supper, with communion. It would seem like everyone was comfortable with the service, the singing, the preaching, the praying, the fellowship. Everything seemed comfortable in so many of those churches until it came time, if we happened to be there on a Sunday when they were celebrating the Lord's Supper, and all of a sudden everything became awkward. The speech patterns became awkward. People seemed to be awkward handling the elements. And I think one thing we saw in that argues for what Bob Weber campaigned for so much, the restoration of the weekly Eucharist. You know, it's usually the things that we do most often that we do best. Practice doesn't make perfect, as my vocal coach friend Chris Beatty says, practice makes permanent. You tend to do things the way you do them over and over. And if you do something over and over, you begin to get comfortable with it. Ancient future worship, as we've observed, is Trinitarian. It worships the triune God, and we can find specific ways to engage in that worship. Ancient future worship is always Christocentric. It finds ways to focus on Jesus. But ancient future worship also engages physical elements, tangible physical things. From the readings that Daniel brought us this morning from Exodus, we get a look at the Passover meal, the blood of a slaughtered lamb on the doorposts, then the eating of unleavened bread along with that lamb and bitter herbs, and even physical directions about how to take the meal with your sandals on your feet, with the staff in your hand, and doing it in haste. Another principal Hebrew feast was the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, or Feast of Pentecost. Loaves of bread from the first fruits of the wheat harvest were involved. Physical elements again. The Feast of Tabernacles is one of the most interesting ones of all. You get to go out and camp out. A physical activity. I'm not a big fan of camping out. But when you do camp out, something happens. You change your physical circumstances. This is worship involving physical, tangible things. Tangible, physical actions. There was water for proselyte baptism. And of course, the animals, grain, oil, and wine for sacrifices. When we move into the new covenant, Jesus perpetuated that tradition and made it new. How did he say to remember him? He basically gave us one way. This is my body. Take, eat. It's broken for you. Do this to remember me. Tangible, physical stuff. Passing a cup of wine. This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it. Remember me. Tangible, physical things. Of course, water for baptism, oil for anointing. And although not there in the New Testament, it's there in the Hebrew Scriptures, and as the bishop who preached at Bob's Memorial Friday night, the imposition of ashes. There again, using something physical, tangible, physical things. And you know, it's not just that these things are pictorial and illustrate for us the story. That's very important. And if it was only that, that would be important enough to use these tangible, physical things in that they illustrate and show us, they depict. I frequently think when Jesus was telling his parables, he probably used the physical things. When he said, consider the grain of mustard seed, I wonder if he didn't have a seed in his hand. That's the way you can communicate with children. And that's what we are. Songs to aging children come. Aging children, I am one. We need these physical things. Jesus knew that we did. And it would be enough if it were just pictorial, if it were just illustrative of the story. But we learn from Eastern thinking that a symbol is more than just a picture. A symbol is a participation in the thing being represented. Oh, we can get hung up in talking about real presence or transubstantiation or consubstantiation. That's the wrong place to get hung up. Don't get hung up in the mechanics. Get hung up in the mystery. Don't stay with the mechanics. Go to the mystery. The symbol is a participation in the thing that it represents. Our contemporary worship is so Gnostic. It's the old Manichaean heresy. That which is spirit is good, that which is matter is evil. That's not what God thinks. He made it all and he said it's good. Our worship so often is so Gnostic in that we're very comfortable with the cerebral, very comfortable with the emotional, depending on where you are on the curve in your worship. But it must be more than cerebral and emotional. It must also be physical. It must be physical. Peter tells us in his epistle that the elements will melt with the fervent heat. Is it because that it's not good and God wants to destroy it? No. It's because everything is being renewed. It's going to be remade. There will be new heavens and a new earth. It's this remade. It's our decaying bodies raised and made new. Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he doesn't do it by disposing of the old. He does it by renewing the old, regenerating the old. Ancient future worship is physical. And there are practical ways to do this wherever we are. Now, I don't want to get you in trouble with your tradition, and I don't want to get myself in trouble with you. But if your tradition allows, I recommend celebrating Eucharist in your home. Jim and I were so blessed. Our last two visits with Bob Weber, he celebrated Eucharist in his home. And not some elaborate production, but a little cup of juice, a saltine cracker, 5 or 6 minutes giving thanks to God for his works in creation, for saving us in Jesus' work on the cross, and then recounting Jesus' words of institution. And we found ourselves right at the foot of the cross. If your tradition allows, I encourage you to celebrate Eucharist in your home. You can't believe what it'll do in your family. If your tradition doesn't allow for that, look into the blessing cup ceremony. You can find it in most bookstores. The blessing cup stops short of being a Eucharist, but it binds you with other people by passing a cup of wine or juice. Doing those physical things to bind ourselves together in our commitment to Christ and our worship of him. You can use water. From the time our girls were pretty small, on the Saturday before Easter, we would take the vigil of Easter and kind of shrink that down so it wouldn't take forever. And on that Saturday evening meal, we would recount the stories about water, starting in Genesis, about how the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the deep, and then how humanity was saved by the ark during the flood. Thinking about Ezekiel's pure water, clean water that is sprinkled on our hearts to make us clean. Thinking about the waters of baptism. Thinking about that river of everlasting life. And then we would take a little bowl of water, pass it around the table. They could touch the water, put some of the water on themselves. We would renew our baptismal vows. You may have noticed the baptismal font, the little bowl of water there right in the middle of the place. It's such of the sanctuary. It's so helpful. I love to avail myself of that. Be conscious of the water as you pass by it. You can think of yourself as being with those ones of old that passed right through the Red Sea as the waters part. You can think of yourself as one being saved through water in the ark of safety, which is the church. If you're comfortable with it, reach out and touch the water. Take some of it, put it on yourself, remind yourself that we are born again of water and spirit. Ancient future worship is physical. And when we engage the physical, when we allow the Lord to engage our physical beings, it has dramatic spiritual ramifications. Let's prepare our hearts for a season of silence.